Thank you for listening to the Keystone Church podcast. For more information about us, you can visit us at mykeystonechurch.com. So this morning we're going into this. We've been doing this series on the 12 keys to encountering God's presence. And so we're on key number 4 today. We went over 2 last week. We started with hunger. Last week we talked about invitation and time. And today I want to talk about expectation. Expectation, I think, is something we don't talk a whole lot about, but I think it's one of the most essential components of having a powerful relationship with God. So I'm going to start this with a quick story. A little while ago, and Kath doesn't know I'm telling the story, but she's going to love it. A little while ago, we were experimenting with turmeric. Am I saying that right? Turmeric? Okay, turmeric in our coffee. And so Kath would make me coffee with turmeric. And the very first time she did it, you know, she made me coffee and she didn't tell me what was in it. So I have this expectation that it's going to taste like normal coffee. And all of a sudden I'm like, you did good, babe. That's a good cup of coffee. And like, I didn't know that she had added anything to it. I just thought something was, maybe the creamer was bad or something. I didn't know. Anyway, over time, I got used to that, and she did that for a little while, and so I had my turmeric coffee, and I got used to that taste. Until one day, she thought she had used turmeric, and she must have been really exhausted or something. I don't know if you remember this, babe, but she used, I think that it was paprika. It was something like that, and it was quite a bit of it. And so that morning, I'm expecting, right? I have an expectation of my turmeric coffee. Do you remember this? It wasn't paprika. What was it? Okay. Anyway, it was something that was shocking to the taste. So I took my sip, and I think I sputtered all over the place. But expectation, what we expect is going to happen, what we expect is going to take place, what we think is going to happen has a big influence on what actually ends up happening. And sometimes we get hit by surprises like that, and we have an expectation, and it doesn't get met. But it makes a big impact on what ends up happening on our day, the types of things that we choose to have an expectation of. So here's where I want to tie this together. In the Bible, there's a word for hope. And we talk about hope a lot in the New Testament. But the word that's used for hope, it's a Greek word, and the Greek word is elpis. The Greek word is elpis. And what it actually means anticipation. It means an expectation of what is sure. So elpis, whenever you see the word hope in the New Testament, they're using this word elpis. They're not just saying hope in the sense that we Americans mean hope. They're saying that it's an anticipation. It's an expectation of what is sure. It, you know, when I say I hope something's going to happen, I don't know about you guys, but in our language, in the English language, that means like maybe a 30, 40% chance, right? I mean, it's not even quite 50-50. Hope usually has almost a more negative connotation in our culture, because when I hope for something, it means I don't actually think it's going to happen, but I hope it will. Do you know what I mean? If we have a contrasting feeling inside of us, I have an expectation that it probably won't happen, but I have a hope that it will. Does that make sense? And we pit those two against each other. In fact, when you look at the English definition of hope, the English definition is to want something to happen or to be true. But that's not the Greek definition. The Greek definition of elpis is anticipation or expectation of what is sure. So that changes how we read our Bible. I think that should change when we read that word hope, that it's not just this kind of like meager little thing of like, yeah, I hope God's good. We have this hope in Jesus that good things are going to come. But it's this expectation. And I think if you actually begin translating that word, sorry, my son is making a goldfish Wolverine claws. That's really impressive. Distraction. Sorry, that's amazing. So when we talk about anticipation, right, or expectation, I don't know about you guys. I'm a grown man, and I still, Christmas Eve, like when you're getting ready for Christmas morning, I'm the one that has done a lot of work of what the kids are going to experience downstairs, because I don't know where everybody's kids are at with all that stuff. But if you know what I mean, you come downstairs, you know what you're going to see. But I always come down just like a little kid. Like when I was a little kid, I could actually train myself to wake up at 4 a.m. I would wake up at 4 a.m. every Christmas morning. And I don't know how it happened, but it was on the dot. I'd look at the clock and it's that time. And I go out to the living room and I would just sit on the couch. And there's all the presents and the lights and the feeling. And what's interesting is before I even left the room, I knew I was going to be walking into something different. I had an anticipation of what is sure. I knew I was going to walk into a room that looked different than it did the night before. And even as an adult, when I know what I'm going to see, I wake up early. I try to beat the kids down here. And I just sit on the couch and I put on some music and I enjoy the feel of the room. That anticipation, that expectation inside of us, even when you know what's going to happen, it's still this exciting thing. So I want to read a verse here in Hebrews 6. And this translation makes this a little bit difficult to understand, but I want to break down one specific part of it. So in Hebrews 6, starting at verse 17, it says, "Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged." I'm going to read that with a different word. "We who have fled to take hold of the expectation set before us may be greatly encouraged." It changes the way you read the verse. "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." We don't think in our culture of hope being an anchor, but when it becomes an expectation, when hope becomes an expectation, it's an anchor, it's firm, it's sure. So what we're pulling this into is how we come into the presence of God. When we come into the place to engage him, to connect with him, do we expect that something is going to happen? Do we expect that something is going to be different? Like I mentioned a minute ago, a lot of times our expectations can impact what's going to happen. There was a study done in the late 80s, early 90s, Robert Rosenthal. And what they did was they took this San Francisco elementary school, and all the kids were given a standard IQ test. The teachers were told by the people doing the study that the test could predict which students would be expected to have a spurt of academic and intellectual functioning. So what's interesting is the teachers think that this study is being performed on the kids. It's not. The teachers are the ones being studied. So when they told the teachers, these are the kids that you can expect to see growth from, and they had no basis for that. They had the kids take an IQ test and then just said, hey, these kids, you can expect to see higher intelligence coming in the next couple months and years. And what happened was the kids they made that prediction over, it says the late-blooming kids, in other words, the kids that were about to have a growth in intellect that this study guys told the teachers, those kids averaged 4 more IQ points on the second test they took than the other group of students. First graders whose teachers had an expectation that they would advance intellectually, those first graders jumped 27.4 IQ points, and the second grade increased on average of 16.5 IQ points. One child who had been classified as mentally retarded with an IQ of 61 scored 106 after the test performers told the teachers, you can expect this kid to be one of the ones that will have a growth in his intellect. What happened? The kids didn't change. The teachers treated them differently. The teachers had an expectation of those students that they'd be the ones to grow, and they started treating those students differently. And as a result of the expectation the teachers had of those students began to grow. How we expect things to play out in our relationships, in our walk with God, is going to have a massive impact because it begins to become like a self-fulfilling prophecy. This is what I'm expecting. Therefore, whether or not I'm consciously aware of it, I'm going to act in such a way that helps that result to come to pass. So let's pull it back. When we come to the place of prayer, what do we expect of God? I can tell you one of the most important things is I walk into the place of prayer and I expect that my spirit is going to get fed when I'm with him. I expect that I'm going to have food for my spirit, that he's going to fill me. I expect the supernatural, guys. I want to encourage you to get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Expect the supernatural. Expect that when you come into the place of prayer, God will meet you there. One of the interesting things that we can tie all this to is healing. I can't tell you the number of times I've prayed for people and that there's actually been improvement and healing, probably 7 or 8 times in about 22 years. I don't love that track record, but I do love that track record. There's been times, but let me tell you, every single time that I go and I pray for somebody, I expect that something is going to happen. I don't walk in based on my experience of nothing happening. I walk in based on my belief and my faith, my expectation that God is good and He wants to do something. So what I want to encourage you guys is, it doesn't matter if you've gone into the place of prayer 100 times and only encountered His presence twice. Don't walk in with the expectation of that 98 times. Walk in with the expectation of the times He's met you, that's what He wants to become the norm. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Expectation is what happens when we apply our faith. We actually turn it into a muscle. When you're using the muscle of faith, you have expectation. Here's the thing. You can have faith without expectation, but you can't have expectation without faith. You can believe in God, but not necessarily have expectation that He'll move on your behalf. But if you expect that He's going to move on your behalf, you have faith in Him. Does that make sense? In a lot of ways, it's so much more important that we have expectation of God than that we just have faith alone. Faith is good, it's essential, but we have to know Him well enough to know how He's going to operate. One of my favorite people, Heidi Baker, she travels around in Mozambique. She has an orphanage, and they have miracles happening every day. And she shared in this video I saw the other day, she's saying, when we pray for deaf people, we're seeing about 100% success rate. We're seeing about 100% of the people we pray for get healed. She said, when we pray for blind people, we see about 70%. We see about 70% when we pray for blind people. So we set up homes for the blind. So here's the thing. When our expectation isn't met 100%, I have an expectation of God, but He didn't meet with me the way I thought He was going to meet with me. We don't throw away the expectation. You work with it and see how He wants to move. He might want to move in a different way. I love that they set up that homes for the blind, because the whole goal is, yes, of course we're going to keep praying for them, but she also says we have the blind people come and do ministry with us, and we have blind people praying for other people, and the blind people are seeing people they're praying for get healed, and they don't have their own healing. I don't know why, but I do know that expectation of who God is, that He is good, that whether or not I see what I think is going to happen, my expectation is that He is good. There's no such thing as failure in the kingdom. You can't fail having high expectations on God. I think the problem that we experience, most of us, is when He doesn't meet our expectations in the way that we expect. We allow our view of His goodness to drop. So if I pray for someone and they don't get healed, I know it's not because of His lack of goodness. I know He is not the kind of God that desires cancer or sickness for His kids. So there's either an opportunity for me to grow in my faith or my understanding, or there's a mystery that perhaps I don't need to know the answer to right now, but I continue praying for His kids and believing He wants them well. I can tell you personally, I want to hit 70% success rate. I want to hit 100% success rate. And so every time I pray, I'm not looking at the outcome to judge the value of God's goodness. I'm looking at the outcome to judge where I need to grow. And when He moves in a different way, I'm going to choose to adjust my understanding of how I can operate. I'm not going to choose to adjust my understanding of His goodness. Does that make sense? It's the same when we enter into his presence. When we enter into his presence, do we believe that he's good and that he wants to meet with us? Do we believe that he's a rewarder of those who seek him? Expectation has everything to do with our understanding of the nature and the heart of God. It's not about a formula or getting him to do what we want. It's about understanding his character and his personality. And I think expectation is a choice. What we know about God's personality and his character comes from one of three places. It either comes from experience. Either experienced his character and his personality. I've heard about it from the Bible or from other people. Or I choose. Sometimes you choose to believe that he's good, even if you haven't heard from other people that he's good. Does that make sense? Sometimes you choose to believe that he is who he says he is, that he's a God who wants good things for his kids, even if you haven't personally experienced it. We choose what we're going to expect. If you don't have the experience to back up what I'm describing of the nature of God, it is still a choice that you can make. It's still a decision that you can make. I'm going to believe and expect that he's good, that he loves me. I haven't felt it. Maybe I have felt it, but it was a long time ago. But I can choose to say, you know what, God, I'm going to give it another shot. I'm going to choose to have faith in you and believe that you're who you say you are. I'm going to choose to expect that you want to meet with me. Yeah.
Bring it.
Yes. I was looking for a video of it, but I wanted that story. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know. And was it the first one that got healed? Her name was like Heidi.
Yes, it was Mama Ida, which is what people called her.
Yeah, and then she prayed for somebody else, and three people were had the same name, Heidi, in Spanish. And they all got healed. You see, so she persevered.
Yeah.
And she didn't let life speak louder than truth.
Yes. She prayed for 100 people and not one got healed. She prayed for 100 people, none of them got healed. And then all of a sudden, she started praying for them, and not only did they start getting healed, but they had the same name that people would call her. They called her Mama Ada. It was three women in a row, wasn't it? That all had that same name. Yeah. No, that's good, but I love the way that you phrased that. She let truth speak louder than life. And we have to make a decision. Are you going to let truth speak louder than life, or are you going to let life speak louder than truth? If you only try to live up to what you've experienced in your life, you will never experience the levels of faith and glory that God wants to bring. But if you can choose to live out of something greater than just what you've experienced and believe for something greater than just what you've experienced, there should always be another level of glory that we haven't touched yet, that we are longing for and living for and shooting for. So good, Keith. Thank you. Another verse in 1 Corinthians, it says, these three things remain. In the Passion Translation, it says, there are these three things that remain, faith, hope, and love, yet love surpasses them all. If we reframe these words, I want to reframe these words a little bit. There are these three things that remain, trust, expectation, and love. Think about how that changes what that means. I trust God. I know him well enough to have an expectation of what he wants to do. And love. Trust, expectation, and love. And when we don't see things happen the way that we want, it says the greatest of these is love. So if my expectation doesn't get met, what I have to hold on to is love. Does that make sense? I don't get offended with him just because he didn't do it the way that I thought he would. When I'm seeking God in prayer, let me tell you guys, if I want an encounter with God, I want an encounter with his presence, it's like playing hide and seek. Sometimes I may want him to just have this booming voice in my spirit, but that's not what he communicates through. Sometimes I'm seeking him and I find him in the Bible. Sometimes I find him in scripture. Sometimes I find him in a podcast. Sometimes I find him in a song of worship and a lyric hits me and boom, I'm in his presence. I'm with him. So we have to be willing to play hide and seek and not be offended if he doesn't come in the way that we want. We have to have a heart that says, I'm going to find you. I know you're there. I'm going to find where you are and what you want. I have an expectation that you're somewhere and I'm going to look for you until I find you. So for some of you, expectation has been a difficult word because you've had expectations and they've been let down. For some of you, you've had expectations of God or of people or of the church, and those expectations have caused brokenness in you. Sometimes that's because people have failed you. Sometimes that might be because you failed people by having an expectation of them that they couldn't meet. But I want to encourage us, and I want to take a couple minutes in prayer here. I want to encourage us and ask, if you're willing to try again, if you're willing to let expectation be a part of who you are and a part of your faith walk with God. We need to renew our hope. We need to renew our anticipation of what God wants to do in us. So what I want to do real quick, guys, is I'm going to put on some instrumental worship. And I believe that there are people in this room that need to get prayed for. So I'm going to ask you guys as much as possible to close your eyes. If you need prayer, please raise a hand. And I believe there's also people in this room that have a prophetic word, that have a declaration of life or truth from the Spirit. And I want to ask you, if you have that, please feel free to step out and share that.